This is HPR episode 1846 entitled, UNITUT-61E Review. It is hosted by Anibil and is about 21 minutes long. The summary is, Anibil does a quick review of his favorite multimeter for electronics, the UNITUT-61E.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, this is NY Bill, and I thought I'd do a quick review of the multimeter I mentioned in my last episode, Multimeter Mods 1, the Unity UT-61E. I just heard that episode today, and I post my episodes like 2 weeks apart, so I don't get too many out there at once. You guys will get sick of hearing at me. However, by the time I do hear back my own episode, enough time has gone by. It's like new to me and I can pick up all the little mistakes and edits and things like that. One thing I said in that episode, I called this meter cheap, and that was unfair. That's just the wrong word for it. So I'll go through the meter in a little more detail and go through the functions. This is my go-to meter for electronics work now. I use this thing all the time. First of all, it's $50. $40, you can get it on sale sometimes. It's a true RMS meter, which for $50, that's, you don't find that. Usually a $50 meter is going to be an averaging meter. Now, the difference between that is an averaging meter, if you plug it in the wall or you test something, it takes the peak voltage and it assumes, on AC, this is, it assumes that the waveform is perfectly sinusoidal. So it averages out and it tells you have, let's say, 60 volts AC. However, that may not be the case. You might have noise, you might have some type of a peak or a frequency issue where the voltage is ramping up to 60 and then dropping off quickly right back down. That is not really 60 volts worth of power that you have there because you have a weak curve coming in and you have a weak curve going out. So you're only getting that 60 volts at the peak. The averaging meter is going to tell you there's 60 volts there, but a true RMS meter will go through the actual sine wave that's developing and give you a root mean square, and it'll tell you, you're supposed to have 60 volts here AC. You think you do, but you're only getting 42 or 38. So true RMS is a nice thing to have in a meter, and you don't see that for $50. Usually that jumps right to $150 meter, and you go up from there. The other nice feature is this is a 22,000 count display. I'm not really sure how the count relates to what I'm going to mention in 1 minute, though. But you see like 4,000 count meters, 8,000 count meters, 12,000 count meters. This is 22,000 count. But what that refers to is how many digits are on the display. And most meters you'll get, 0.00. That's what I usually see in most meters. So if you stick it on 9 volts DC, you're going to see 9 point, and then you might see 0.32 or, whatever is after the decimal. 22,000 counts gives you a resolution 4 digits after the decimal. So that can come in handy if you're doing any calculations with electronics. Until you get up to 10 volts, you're going to see like 9.3562, I'm just making up a number, but 4 digits of resolution. That'll help you if you're going to get out a calculator and do anything. The better you know where your voltage is, the better your calculation is going to come out. Once you get above 10 volts, the decimal point drops back one. So then you're going to have 10.000 or 3 places of resolution. So that is also a handy feature, and you don't usually see that much resolution on a meter of this in this price range. So when I was saying cheap, which is not really the right word. It's, how do I describe it? It's not built like to an industrial and a safety type of robust build. There's got to be a word I'm looking for, and I just can't think of it. So looking inside, like inside my Fluke, everything is in its own like little blast shielded, compartmentalized areas within. There's plastic in plastic, and all the plastic meshes together. You're going to be holding this thing in your hand, and you don't want it to blow up. Fluke has big heavy-duty fuses, and they actually make cutouts in the PCB. So if something did go wrong with that fuse, a spark is not going to be able to gap over and ruin more sensitive equipment and basically kill the meter. And they have big heavy-duty shunt trips. The Unity has small, just like little like glass. Well, they're not glass, actually. They're decent enough, a 1-amp and a 10-amp. And a small shunt trip, but you can just tell the build quality isn't up to what the Fluke is at. The banana plugs, the banana plug sockets on a nicer meter are going to be a nice heavy-duty metal and bolted right to the PCB. You're going to be using this thing a lot daily, plugging in and out, dropping it. You don't want those banana plug sockets coming undone from the PCB board, and then you go to check something and it looks like there's no voltage there, but really you're, like in the case of this Unity here, this solder could break off. The banana plug socket is just like a piece of crimped metal, a circle that your probe's going to go into, and off that metal it just bends off a piece of like, geez, it's like a 16th inch piece of metal that's just thin like two sheets of paper. And then that's soldered onto the board. So it's just that little solder breakpoint there. I've dropped my Fluke. Jeez, I was like 3 years ago. I had to, in this building, I had to climb up this. It was like a structure, but I had to get up to this like crane thing. Actually, it's a place where they store steel. You're going to call an order. You need so many I-beams or whatever for your building or your project. And they store all the different gauges, steel and sizes and rounds and squares, and they put them in these big pans. And then this big giant machine goes through this. Oh, a guy gets in the machine. And it's a long, skinny machine that's up on a crane rail. I'm just describing this because it's an interesting machine. I've never seen one, only at this place. And he will go into the appropriate aisle. He knows where the steel is he needs to pick, and he might need to go into like aisle 6. And then go down to row 27, and then his whole entire machine will come up with him, and he might need to go up 20 pans high, and then like fork bars come out of the side of his machine, pick up a pan, and then bring it down where the guys can sort it, cut it, and get it ready for the customer. So it's kind of like a big human-driven pick-and-place machine, I guess. Anyways, I needed to go up to the top of that to the controls of the crane part. Something wasn't working. And I get all the way up to the last pan. I must be 35 feet in the air, and my Fluke was in the big pocket of my winter coat, and that last movement just was enough to flip the meter out of the coat, and it dropped 35 feet down and right onto concrete. That was 3 years ago, and the meter is right next to me, and it's been running fine since. I don't think if I dropped this Unity from that level, there would be much left to it. I'm sure all these banana plug connections would bust. I'm sure the case would crack. Who knows what else would go wrong, but the Fluke, it busted a little plastic piece on the back near the battery holder. So now I only have one screw to hold my battery in. But other than that, it's been working fine ever since. So that's what I mean just by like building a robust build quality and then building the safety features for the operator, the human that's going to be using this thing, don't seem to be up to snuff with this Unity. However, for electronics, it does everything I need in electronics, and it does it well. So, having said all that, and looking into the board of this thing, I don't know how they're giving it a Category 4 rating of 600 volts and a Category 3 rating of 1,000 volts, which is also what my Fluke is. And I'm looking around it. Fluke has the different UL testing labs, and I think across the pond you guys have CE. I'm not sure what that stands for, but testing labs take equipment and put it through like rigorous testing to make sure it does what it's supposed to do. It stays within voltage. It doesn't blow up in the guy's hand. The Unity does have a CE mark on the front that is just paint, which I don't trust much. It's not engraved into the thing anymore. I don't see any UL listing, which is Underwriters Laboratory for America. I don't even think you could use this in certain situations or labs that require UL tested equipment, labs that send all their equipment out to be calibrated, you know, periodically, and they need to know that these things run to spec. I don't know if you can trust the Unity in that situation. I doubt it, but so I can quickly go through the functions here and tell you what it does. You got voltage, of course, DC and AC. The nice thing with the Unity is it defaults to DC. Most meters go to AC first, and you have to have the function button to go to DC. Unity is the opposite, and being this, I use this for electronics. It's nice that it just goes right to DC, and, you know, just a little time saver. That's a nice touch. Next function, millivolts, AC and DC. Next function, ohms. Let me get the probes here. The probes are decent enough. They feel a little more plasticky than like a nice silicone probe. Points are sharp enough. Sharp points are good for if you got to get in, and especially surface mount stuff. You need a real tight probe. So we're in the ohms function, and then the blue button changes the function of whatever you're in the selector switch. So ohms, you press it once, and you go to continuity. This is another nice feature of this meter. Most inexpensive meters, well, I might be able to demonstrate that with that little pocket meter I have. Hang on. Cheaper meters tend to have scratchy or slow, laggy continuity. I can show you that here if you can hear this. This is a cheap little, it was like $19, it's a pocket meter. Can you hear the scratch? That is a pain in the butt if you're going through a board somewhere and you're looking for a short and you're going to probe like 100 things. If the continuity is going scratchy, you have to just spend, it doesn't sound like a lot, you know, if you have to spend an extra second on each probe, but if you have to do 100 or 200 of them, you can see that having a quick, fast, crisp continuity is nice. So this is nice, quick. It's got a slight bit of scratchiness to it. But it's quick and fast enough that it doesn't annoy me. So another night, that's another plus for the Unity. Next button is, diode testing. This is another, I keep saying nice feature, but I guess I'm just going over the features that I think are a plus with this. It has a diode test, and it puts out enough voltage to actually light up an LED. So like a couple lugs ago, a buddy gave me, he got a whole bunch of LEDs, an assortment mixed, and he just gave all the electronics people in the group like 20 or 30 of them in a little envelope. But they were all clear. However, in the mixed, you know, there was a red one and there was green ones and yellow ones and orange ones. So it was nice to be able to just take this meter, stick it to diode, and go through all the LEDs and be able to sort them and put them all in their own separate little envelopes. So that's a plus. You don't have to get out a battery and a resistor to test an LED. Next function, capacitance. Here you can, you check capacitors. I used this the other day. The Unity comes with this, I thought it was kind of a joke at first, well, until I actually used it. It comes with this little, I guess I'll take a picture and put things in the show notes. It's a little adapter, you take your probes out and it goes into voltage and milliamp microamp. And it's got test pads on it I have it upside down. It has test pads that you can stick in a capacitor in the middle or a resistor in the middle, and it will tell you nanofarad, picofarad, what your capacitance is. It has a place to put NPN and PNPN transistors to test those to see if they're good. And then it has those pads again in surface mount. So if you had tweezers, you can put your resistors or capacitors in the middle or check your diodes on the side. So I used this the other day. I bought coin envelopes. They're only like 3 inches by 2 inches. And I sorted all my capacitors because I think I mentioned that I bought a kit. That Joe Knows kit of capacitors. And then I also had like just my own collection of capacitors over time. I went through all the values and put them all in their own envelopes and sorted them by value. And so I was using this little tester doohickey for a couple hours one day. That's What I thought was a bit of a gimmick to sell the meter ends up being a useful tool. Next. It does Hertz, microamps AC/DC, milliamps AC/DC, amps AC/DC. So you can put this meter in line with a circuit and see how many amps are running through it. I don't do that at work because you can start blowing fuses if something goes wrong. I just have an amp probe, a clamp meter. You just go around the wire and it tells you how many amps are in there. But for DC, you can have this meter in series with your circuit and see how many amps it's drawing. If you had a second meter, you can put it on there too, and then you can watch volts and amps as your circuit's running. So that's a handy feature to use. The meter is also auto-ranging. So I didn't mention that in the beginning, but I should have mentioned that back with the chore RMS stuff and everything. You just put it to, let's say here, I just want the AC. It's just sitting at zero. Stick it in the wall. Stick it on a battery. No, not a battery, but stick it on an AC signal, and it's going to auto-range up and move the decimal point for you. That's handy. Non-auto-ranging, you'll know them if you see them. You look at the selector knob, and it's not just 5 or 6 or 10 functions. It looks like there's 100 of them on there. So then you have to know about what you're going to be measuring. If you're going to be measuring DC 10 volts, you have to have the selector knob in the 0 to 10 volts range. If you're going to go, you think it's going to be 20 volts, you're going to have to click your selector knob. So you have to range in the meter. Just get auto-ranging. It's just much nicer. The other thing this meter does, which is handy, is it has a relative button. So you take a reading. Let's say I clamp my meter on something, and I take a reading, and it's 10 volts DC. And you hit relative, your meter's going to go to zero. Then any fluctuations plus or minus off of 10 volts DC, that's what it will display for you. So it just gets rid of you having to write things down and, you know, do some plus subtraction or addition after your reading. You can just see how it's varying off of what you call your baseline voltage. So relative is a nice button to have. I don't know why it has a range button. I'm looking at it now. Why do you have a range button? Oh, you can put it in manual. I didn't know that. Yeah, so it's letting me move the decimal place right now. One decimal place, 4 zeros after, and then I can go one decimal place. I don't know why you'd want to do this. Why do you want to get rid of your resolution? Anyways, it has that feature, if you call it a feature. So like I said in the multimeter, I should stop pressing this so you can stop hearing that beep. Like I said in the multimeter mods episode, I did find it lacking that it didn't have a backlight, and I would like to have that auto shut off timer put in it. And I am still working on that. There will be an episode to follow up with with that meter. And I just called it that meter because I'm holding a different one. Yes, I like this Unity so much for doing electronics work, I bought a second one. I hope this doesn't sound like a big pitch for these guys aren't paying me. I was on Amazon ordering something. Oh, I think it was in the other episode when I checked the price of this, and it was $48. And then later that night, I'm thinking, maybe I'll just get a second one. Because sometimes I'm up here on the desk, I'm working on a project at night, and I want 2 meters. So I'll probably, you know, I want to watch voltage, and I want to watch current. Or I want to watch the voltage going into a circuit and watch it coming out at the same time. And what I would do in the past is just wait till the next day and hopefully remember to bring my Fluke home. And then, you know, use the Fluke for the night and then bring it back to work. But that just kind of breaks my flow of the project in the moment there. It would be nice to have 2 nice meters to just have access to all the time. So this second Unity will just sit here on the desk right next to the power supply, and that's where it'll stay. The other one that I'm modding, that's still going to be my one for the hacker bag that I bring to meetings. And that's why I want the timer circuit in that, because sometimes I pull it out and I do something quick and I throw it back in the bag and I'm talking with everybody at the meeting, and that's when I'm forgetting to turn the thing off and I'm killing batteries. So that one's still going to get modded. This one, this new one for the bench, I might still put the, I think I will. I'm going to put the, do the backlight mod on it, but I won't do the timer circuit on it because when I'm at the desk here, everything's on. I can see all the lights. And then when I stand up, I turn everything off. So I don't think I'll be killing batteries in this one, but okay. That was just a, quick review of the Unity, and so that you guys didn't get the wrong impression when I called it cheap. Okay, if anybody has any comments or questions, you can leave them on the webpage, or I am nybill at gunmonkeynet.net, and StatusNet GNU Social is sn.gunmonkeynet.net. Okay, until next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binref.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.